finish discussing Bechira Chavshis. Seeing as we only have two shiurim left, I figured we should go on and get to all the promised topics of the year. In honor of Masechta Sanhedrin and the upcoming Siyum that I know a number of you are making, I thought today we would talk a little bit about Olam Haba. The mission at the end of Sanhedrin says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak Olam Haba. It's not the first source on your sheet. I assume that you all knew this by heart. Everyone has a chelak in Olam Haba. Shenemar, v'amech kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu aretz. Netzer mata'ai ma'asei adai lehispa'er. It's very interesting. You'll see here in this Mishnah, as well as a number of the Makoros for Olam Haba in Perek HaChelak and elsewhere, that Olam Haba is depicted as Eretz. Over here, li'olam yirshu aretz is a reference to Olam Haba, which is the eternal existence, li'olam, and it's very interesting, of course, that Eretz l'man yirbu yimeichem al ha'adama, in that case, at the end of the second parsha of Kriya Shema, which is a reference to Yom Shekulo Aruch. Perhaps we'll return to why Eretz and Adama is a reference or a metaphor for Olam Ba. Shein lam chelak li'olam haba, that's no longer in the song for some reason. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah. So the very first example of someone who has no chelak in Olam Haba is someone who says that ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah. For those of you who just came, there are more makoro sheets up here. Ah, good catch. So why is it that Omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah, ein lo chelak olam haba? What is so bad? No, over there. So bad about denying tchias ha'mesim? So the Gemara says, "Hu kafar ba lefikach lo yelo chelak bo." Since he was kofar in tchias ha'mesim, therefore he won't have a chelak in tchias ha'mesim. The Gemara seems to be taking for granted that olam haba and tchias ha'mesim are the same thing. He was kofar in olam haba, therefore he won't have a chelak in olam haba. Meaning to say, Chazal seem to understand that Omer ein tchias ha'mesim means Omer ein olam haba. And therefore, if you deny olam haba, then you don't get olam haba. Now, that's because the simple understanding of Chazal is, and in fact this is the mainstream view among Rishonim and other thinkers, is that tchias ha'mesim ushers in the period of olam haba. This is in distinction with the Rambam's position, who understands that tchias ha'mesim is a one-time miracle in which the dead will be resurrected, but has nothing to do with olam haba, because olam haba is a totally non-physical existence. We'll return to that debate in just a moment. So the Mishnah says that if you deny olam haba, then you have no chelak in olam haba. Another interesting insight, we don't have time to focus on this today, is that it's not simply the denial of olam haba that warrants lack of olam haba, but simply saying homer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah. Should someone say that there is tchias ha'mesim or there is olam haba, but deny its source in the Torah, so that too would be a form of heresy that warrants the loss of olam haba. There are a number of important things to note on this Mishnah. One is that the importance of belief in Ikar Yamuna. It's obvious that if denial of tchias ha'mesim would warrant lack of olam haba, so certainly basic things like denying Metzias Hashem or the like would certainly warrant lack of olam haba. Why is it that tchias ha'mesim is picked among the Yud Gimel Ikar Yamuna is also another interesting question. Maybe if we have a chance, we'll get back to that as well. Why is it that denying olam haba is so important, is so fundamental, or knowing a little bit about olam haba is so fundamental? So the Yad Rama, the Mishnah, again not yet on your source sheets, addresses this. He writes, "V'inyan ha'olam haba yisod gadol miyisodei haTorah." The concept of olam haba is a fundamental principle of the Torah. It is, as we noted, one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yamuna. Sharei HaKofer Bo, Af al pi sheyesh biyado Torah umaisim tovim, ein lo chelak liolam haba. Someone who denies the existence of Olam Haba, i.e. denying Tchias HaMesim, Rama, like Ramban, understands that Tchias HaMesim ushers in Olam Haba, so denial of Tchias HaMesim is denial of Olam Haba. So someone who is kofer in Olam Haba, even though he's done lots of mitzvos and maisim tovim, ein lo chelak liolam haba, kede mefarish b'masnisin, umosif la birura b'gemara. V'lo od, ela shetziduk dino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu talui bo. Justice is dependent upon Olam Haba. Lomar, she'enenu pukucho, she'enav pukuchos al kol darche b'nei Adam, laseis l'ish kidrachav, u'kifri me'alilav. Says the Rama that someone who denies Olam Haba is basically denying divine justice, because if you look around the world, so we see that clearly in this world there isn't total justice. The righteous suffer, the wicked prosper. Sometimes you'll have a person who's lived a very good life but die at a young age after having experienced terrible suffering. So if all there is Olam Hazeh, so then there is no divine justice. So denying Olam Haba is not just denying an important theological concept, but it's accusing God of total and absolute injustice. And therefore, it's so important to believe in Olam Haba. And then he continues, Lefikach tzrichem anu lefarish inyano. Therefore we have to explain what Olam Haba is. Because Olam Haba is such a fundamental principle, you have to know a little bit about it, the Rama says. One might have thought, okay, I know that there is such a thing as the afterlife, I know that there is such a thing as Olam Haba, there will be justice, those who do the good will be rewarded. Maybe that's enough. So the Rama says, no, it's something that you have to understand. And that's what Be'ezras Hashem will begin to do a little bit today. And the Rama concludes, Lefima shekibalnu me'avoseinu me'rabuseinu. We have to explain this concept based off of the Kabbalah that we have received from Chazal. And that is a very important point as well. The concept of Olam Haba, as well as Tchias HaMesim to a lesser degree, is not explicit in Tanakh, certainly not in Chumash. Why that is a fascinating question. If Olam Haba is such an important concept, so one would have expected the Torah to discuss it. Unlike, for example, Yemos HaMashiach, which is discussed explicitly, certainly in Nevi'im, but even in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. For example, Parshas Nitzavim discusses the basic plan of Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, while there are perhaps many Ramazim to it, is not explicitly discussed in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Why is that? It's a very interesting question. There are 7 or 8 answers in the Rishonim to that question that I'm aware of. And perhaps, again, if we have time, we could return to that question. But therefore, the Rama says, how do we know about Olam Haba? We know based off of Mesorah, based off of Kabbalah, and some of the basic ideas are explained explicitly in Chazal, for example, in Perek Chelek, but many others we know based off of Mesorah. Before we get into the details of what it is, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Ches Halacha Zayin, V'kama kame David v'isavel l'chayolam haba. How much did David HaMelech long for, desire Olam Haba? Shenemar lulei ha'amanti lir'os betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Eretz chayim, again, is a reference to Olam Haba, another place where we see the word eretz, like we saw earlier, li'olam yershu eretz. Eretz chayim, Olam Haba referred to as a land of eternal life. And Rambam says, look how much David HaMelech longed for, desired to experience Olam Haba. Now, it's important to explain what that means. It does not mean that Olam Haba should be the motivation for a person's doing that which is right. The Rambam very explicitly in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva writes that doing Torah and mitzvos in order to get Olam Haba, to be rewarded by Olam Haba, is doing Torah mitzvos shelo lishma. It is a lower level of Avodas Hashem. That's not to say that it's not something we should utilize. not every one of us is at a level where we are Oved Hashem entirely me'ava, oses emes mifneshu emes, but fundamentally, at least what we should strive for, the Rambam says, is to be Oved Hashem lishma. And lishma, or mitoch ahava, means doing that which is right because it's right, not just in order to get reward. If you do that which is right because it's right, you will be rewarded, but that shouldn't be your motivation. Doing it just to get rewarded is, the Rambam says, Kavadim Hamasham Shemesarav Almanas Lakabel Pras. Nevertheless, the Rambam says David HaMelech longed for, yearned for, desired Olam Haba. So isn't that a contradiction? The answer, as many of the Mefarshim point out, is no, it's absolutely not. The idea is that Olam Haba is a place of Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a place where we could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we are not capable of doing so as long as we are in our current state of existence. It's a place of closeness and Yediyas Hashem. So David HaMelech longed for Olam Haba, not because he was motivated to do that which is right in order to get Tzchar, but he longed to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like the pasuk he quotes says, "Lulei ha'mantiler os betuv Hashem be'aretz chayim." And that is the fundamental concept of Olam Haba. And that's true both according to the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban himself notes that even though there is this debate between he and the Rambam about whether or not there'll be a guf in Olam Haba, Rambam saying there will be not a guf, Ramban saying there will be a guf, but the Ramban stresses that there's no fundamental disagreement about the nature of Olam Haba, in the sense that everyone agrees that Olam Haba is the ultimate place of Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate place of Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate place of Yediya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a spiritual existence and an entirely spiritual existence. There's no doubt about that. Everybody agrees Olam Haba, there's no Achila, there's no Shtia, there's no Tashma Shamita, El Tzadikim Yoshvin Ve'atrosen Beroshen Ve'nen and Meziv Ashchina. About that there's no debate. The question is, what exactly is meant by Tzadikim Yoshvin Ve'atrosen Beroshen Ve'nen and Meziv Ashchina? So the Rambam says, Mistama, there's no guf, because if there's lo Achila ve'lo Shtia ve'lo Tashma Shamita, so why would we need Klei Achila? What possible purpose would there be for a stomach if you're not going to eat? And if it's an entirely spiritual existence, then the Rambam argues, there should be no need for any form of guf. Tzadikim Yoshvin refers to the existence that involves no tsar. Vatrosan Biroshe refers to the intellect insofar as we'll be able to comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that we're incapable of doing that. But fundamentally, there's no need for a guf, because it's an entirely spiritual existence. The Ramban says, and this we'll talk a little bit about today, why that might be, but the Ramban says, no, even though it is an entirely spiritual existence, there still is going to be a body. Why that is a very good question, and that's why, in a sense, the Rambam's position is far more intuitive, far more easy to understand. However, as we noted, the Pashup Shad in Chazal is against the Rambam, and his view is a minority view, and that's why, at least today, we're going to focus on Ramban. You had a question, Rabbi?
For the Yadamah's comment that it's all about the Kabbalah that we receive from Abayam Hussein, so especially in order to understand why you in Lochelik Mulhamba, because I believe that Tias Menezim Min HaTorah.
Excellent question. In other words, what's so bad about Ein Lochelik Min HaTorah, Omer Ein Tias Menezim Min HaTorah? So that would somewhat depend on how you understand that. Does that mean you see it in the Psukim, or Min HaTorah, meaning to say it's coming to include Torah Sheba'al Peh along with Torah Sheba'al, denying it. Now it's true, the Gemara over there does bring a bunch of Ramazim, Az Yashir Moshe, etc., for Tchias HaMesim, but it could be that denying Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah means that you say it's this idea that might be true, but it's not part of the Mesorah, it's not part of our Mesorah. Okay, so what happens when we die? So the basic idea is that as long as we're alive, we're not just our bodies, as we actually discussed last week, but we are a guf and an neshama, vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam min ha'afar, afar min ha'adama, v'ipach be'apav nishmas chayim. So we have a neshama and a guf. Our neshama is a chelak elokam imal. Perhaps another time we could explain what that means exactly. But it's from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu man, denafach medilei nafach. Hashem breathed into our body that gave us our neshama. And that's the basis of our soul, of our nishmas chayim. Now, the fact that the body and the soul can coexist while we're alive is an extraordinary thing. The body is physical, the soul is spiritual. The Rama quotes that when we say Rofecho Basar Mafli Lasos after Asher Yatzar, we're alluding to the remarkable coexistence of body and soul. It's Mafli Lasos. It's astonishing that the body and the soul, which in a sense are so different from each other, can coexist. What then is Misa? Misa is the separation of the body from the soul. As the Pasuk in Kohelet says, V'yashuv ha'afar el ha'aretz kishehaya, v'haruach tashuv el ha'alokim asher nisana. The afar returns to the adama where it was taken from, like the Pasuk in Bereisha says, ad shuvcha el ha'adama, kimimena lukachta. So our body upon death separates from the soul. The body decomposes, it returns to the dust from where it was taken, and the neshama returns to Hashem. V'aruach tashuv el ha'alokim asher nesana. The ruach, the neshama, returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning to say, it continues to exist even after death. So the basic concept of Olam Haba is the concept of the Nitzchios HaNeshama. The idea that the neshama continues to exist when we die, that doesn't really mean that we die. Doesn't mean, or is not meant to imply, that we cease to exist. Rather, we continue to exist, though our body is no longer connected in the same way to the soul. Like we say in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Tezvav, V'ata tavo el avosecha b'shalom, tikaver b'seva tova. This is Hashem's referring to Avram Avinu's death. Doesn't mean you're going to die. Tashuv el avosecha b'shalom. Misa, very interestingly, as we saw in the previous three psukim, is referred to as Lashuv, right? Ad shuvcha el hadama, v'haruach tashuv el ha'alokim. Rav Chaim Vital explains the basic process of what Misa is. Again, I'm sorry, not yet up to the Makoros, still the introduction. Noda el bale mada ki guf adam einenu ha'adam atzmo, mitzad haguf, ki zen nikra basar ha'adam. The first thing to understand when you're trying to consider what Olam Haba is, L'kulei Alma, or what Misa is to recognize that our body is not who we are. We sometimes might think of ourselves as our body, but that's not true. The guf is not ha'adam atzmo. Rather, what's our guf? If you wish, you could call our guf besar ha'adam, but it's not the adam. Kemo shekasuv, ur ubasar tal bisheni, uve'atzmos v'gidim tesochicheni. The pasuk in Iyov says, you have dressed me in skin and bones, and gidim, you've surrounded me, meaning to say you've dressed me in skin and bones. So obviously, my skin and bones, or my physical body, is not me. They're my malbush, or ubasar talbisheni. My levush is my skin and bones. What you could see of me is not me. What you could see of me is my clothing. Who is me? So that's the neshama. V'od ksiv al besar ha'adam lo yisach. The pasuk in Shmos Perek Lamed says that you may not put the shemen ha'mishcha on the skin, but it calls the skin the besar adam. Meaning, say, not the adam, but the besar adam. So our bodies are the besar adam. So what are we? Nimtza ha'adam hu ha'pnimius. Who are we? We're our pnimius. Aval ha'guf hu inyan levush echad titlabesh bo nefesh ha'sichlis asher hi ha'adam atzmo be'odo be'olam hazeh. The guf is the clothing, as it were, of the neshama as long as we are in Olam Hazeh. V'achar haptira, yufshat me'alav halavush hazeh, v'yitlabesh b'levush zach v'naki ruchani. U'kimo shekasuv, hasira b'gadim hatzoim v'gomer, v'hitlabesh otcha machalatzos, hu'anikra chaluka d'rabanan. What this chaluka d'rabanan is, perhaps, if we have time, we'll get to it. But that's fundamentally what Misa is. It's the separation of the body and the soul. So what happens to the soul after it separates from the body? So that's what we're going to discuss today. And as I mentioned, our focus today will be on the view of the Ramban. Maybe we'll refer to the Rambam's position at the end quickly. So let's start with the Ramban. The first source on your page, this is from Taras HaAdam, Shar HaGmul, where the Ramban deals with these issues extensively. Schar nefashos v'kiyumam ba'olam ha'neshamos nikra l'raboseinu gan eden. So the first thing that we have to distinguish between, for the Rambam, is the distinction between olam haba and olam ha'neshamos. Olam ha'neshamos is where our souls go nowadays when a person dies. What are the olam ha'neshamos? The olam ha'neshamos, the world of the souls, is a non-physical existence where the souls reside, as it were. Perhaps reside should not be understood in a very physical sense, because these are non-physical creations, but the souls kaviyochol live, reside, exist in the olam ha'neshamos. What is the olam ha'neshamos? So, briefly, that's Gehenim and Gan Eden. Gan Eden is the olam ha'neshamos where tzaddikim are rewarded for their mitzvos. It's a spiritual existence. What is the association between where the neshamos of tzaddikim go and the Gan Eden referred to in the Torah, which is obviously a physical place on this world, is also an important question. If we have time, we'll get back to it. But that is where the nefashos of tzaddikim go. Everybody else, perhaps almost everybody, at least for some period of time, needs a tikkun of the neshama, and that's Gehenim. And Gehenim is a place where the neshama is purified due to its having been defiled through sin while on this world. While it's a very painful experience, it's also a matana, it's an opportunity that we are able to refine our souls. And part of the purpose of the Olam HaNeshamos, both Gan Eden and Gehenim, the Ramban tells us, is to prepare the neshama for Olam Haba. So the first thing to note is that even though a lot of times we say when a person dies he goes to Olam Haba, that's not precise. Now it is important to note that perhaps there are times where terms are not always used precisely. Sometimes the term Olam Haba refers to Gan Eden or the like, but when we try to use or understand the concept more precisely, so it's important to understand the difference between Gan Eden and Olam Haba. Gan Eden and Olam Haba are two separate things. They're both places where a person is rewarded for their good deeds while on this world, but Gan Eden is part of the Olam HaNeshamos. It's a totally non-physical existence that exists nowadays. It's happening now. Olam Haba, as the term implies, but it's a future existence. It does not yet exist. Nowadays, when people die, they don't go to Olam Haba. Rather, their neshamos go to Gan Eden. And Gan Eden is, in a certain sense, a holding pen where the neshamos reside and wait until Olam Haba, which is the ultimate place of gmul, of reward, as we'll see in a moment. It's also a place that prepares the neshama for that ultimate and eternal experience. So, just to go back to what we read, Schar hanefashos v'kiyumam ba'olam hanishamos nikra l'rabosenu gan eden. So the schar in olam hanishamos is called by Chazal gan eden. Upa'amim korin oso aleha aliyah and the yeshiva shalmala. There are other names that refer to this existence, the aliyah, the yeshiva shalmala. We say, somebody's in the yeshiva shalmala. What we mean is he's in the olam hanishamos, he's in gan eden. V'acharecha, each of the different names refers to a different aspect, perhaps, of this form of existence. V'acharechein yavo'u yimei ha-mashiach. V'hu mechlal ha-olam hazeh. Afterwards, yimos ha-mashiach will come, and that is part of olam hazeh. Meaning to say as follows. Yimos ha-mashiach is a this-worldly experience and existence. It's going to be very different than our current existence. It will be a time of universal knowledge of God. It will be a time where we can grow in ruchnius in an extremely intense way, but it's still part of Olam Hazeh. What's going to happen be Moshe Mashiach? So we know, at least to some degree, certainly we don't know all the details, but the Psukim tell us there's going to be Kibbutz Galios, we're going to return to Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash will be restored, there'll be universal peace, we'll have the opportunity to be Oved Hashem with peace and prosperity and the like. So it's a this-worldly experience. It's a this-worldly existence. That's Yemos HaMashiach. Now, there is a debate in Chazal, and the Rishonim discuss this as well and debate this, the extent to which Yemos HaMashiach will be more like our current existence. Shmuel's view of Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yemos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchus Bilvad, which the Rambam understands means that it won't be a miraculous or supernatural existence, and other views in Chazal that might seem to have a different perspective on that matter. The Ramban thinks, for example, that there'll be no Bechira Chafshis, or at least the nature of Bechira Chafshis will change very much B'Mos HaMashiach. Rambam disagrees. So there's a question as to the extent to which Yemos HaMashiach will be different or similar to our current existence, but either way, fundamentally, it's a this-worldly existence and the like. So what happens when a person dies, so their soul goes to the Olam HaNeshamos? What happens in this world? So this world will continue until Yemos HaMashiach, and then it will continue. What about all those Neshamos? Those Neshamos will be in the Olam HaNeshamos. And when people die, B'Yemos HaMashiach, the same thing that happens nowadays will happen then. The Rambam writes, people will die B'Yemos HaMashiach. They might live a very long life, but they'll die, they'll be buried, and their neshama will go to the Olam HaNeshamos. There are some Makoros that associate some Tchias HaMesim with Yemos HaMashiach, which we'll get back to in a moment. Many Rishonim therefore assume that there'll be two resurrections, one resurrection associated with Yemos HaMashiach, one with Olam Haba. We'll get back to that. But first let's just read this paragraph of the Ramban, who's going to set up the basic structure, and then we'll fill in some of the details. So, Yemos HaMashiach is part of Olam Hazeh. Uvesofan, at the end of the Messianic era, there are sources in Chazal that refer to this as 1,000 years, that the 6,000 years of creation are associated, the 6 days of creation are associated with 6,000 years of existence and the like. And again, the details of this we don't know. Perhaps we can see some statements in Chazal about this a little later. But after Yemos HaMashiach will come to an end, so then, at the end, there'll be Yom HaDin. That's what the Nevi'im frequently refer to, Yom HaDin HaGadol VaHanora. This is a time in which everybody will be judged once again. People are judged on multiple occasions, as the Ramban points out at the beginning of Shaar Gemul, every year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, after a person dies, and then there's this Yom HaDin HaGadol VaHanora. What's the purpose for the various forms of judgment the Rishonim deal with, but there'll be this great Yom HaDin, and that will usher in the period of Tchias HaMesim. So after the Yom HaDin, there'll be Tchias HaMesim. Shehu Haschar HaKolel HaGuf VeHaNefesh. As we said, Olam Haba is Schar HaGuf VeHaNefesh, as opposed to the Olam HaNeshamos, which relates entirely to the Nefesh. The Olam Haba relates to the Guf plus the Nefesh. And here he's alluding to, we'll elaborate on this in a couple of minutes, but the significance to Olam Haba is that it's schar for the person entirely, not just for the Nefesh, not just for the Neshama. And the Ramban writes, Behu ha'ikar ha'gadol shehu tikvas kol mekavel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, even though the Olam HaNeshamos Gan Eden is in fact a place of reward, likewise Yimos HaMashiach to some degree, but the Iker Schar is Olam Haba. The Iker Makom HaGmul is Olam Haba. It's not the Olam HaNeshamos. The Olam HaNeshamos is where the Neshama resides while waiting for Olam Haba. It too is a place of great spiritual pleasure, but it's not the ultimate place of Gemul. The ultimate place of the Gemul, the Ramban tells us, is Olam Haba. And this is the hope, the tikva of Kol HaMekavel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Like we saw before in the Rambam, that someone who longs for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will achieve that to the greatest degree possible in Olam Haba. And that's why tzaddikim long for Olam Haba. Not because they want to be rewarded, but because they long to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu Olam Haba, shebo yashuv haguf kimo hanefesh. So in Olam Haba, like we explained, there is hashavas haguf kimo hanefesh. The nefesh never died. The guf is restored with tchias hameisim. V'hanefesh tidbak b'das elyon, ki dabka b'gan eden olam haneshamos. The nefesh will be able to cling to Das Alyon as it did in Olam HaNeshamos, but now it will be impossible along with the Guf. V'titale b'asaga gdola mimena, it will achieve an even higher degree of understanding, of elevation. In other words, Olam Haba is a higher madrega than the Olam HaNeshamos, which is very interesting. Again, the Rambam says that's impossible, because as long as we have a physical body, we're limited in our ability to understand. The Rambam says, why would anybody want Tchias HaMeisim to be associated with Olam Haba if the association with the physical body is something that limits our ability to apprehend and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Ramban disagrees. While that might be true in our current state of existence, where in a sense there's a stira between the guf and the neshama and our physicality holds us back, that will not be the case after the tikkun that will exist in Olam Haba. V'yiyah kiyum hakol le'adei ad ulenetzach netzach. This existence of Olam Haba will last forever and ever. That's the eternal life. That's the Eitz HaChayim that's referred to in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. So in a sense, we have two processes going on in the world. Right now, we have the guf plus neshama as an individual. When a person dies, so the neshama goes to the olam haneshamos, and the guf is buried. And then, at some point, there'll be tchias hameisim and Olam Haba. That's with respect to a individual. With respect to the world, we have Olam Hazeh. Right, what's going on now? Yemos HaMashiach, which, as the Ramban said, was a Hemshech of Olam Hazeh. It's a this-worldly existence, a different this-worldly existence, but still part of this world. And then Olam Haba, in which there'll be Tchias HaMesim and Olam HaBa and the like. So that's the basic Mahalech for the Ramban. Okay. There were some questions. Yes.
Are there some sources that the Ramban is drawing upon for these ideas or some ideas? Or
yes. So take a look at the Ramban. Some of them are sources in Kabbalah, but many of them are sources in Chazal. And he quotes in the Shaar HaGemul, very worth reading, really dozens and dozens of Gemaras and Midrashim where these ideas emerge from. And again, one example, just that we saw the basic structure, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Kfira and Tchias HaMesim is Kfira and Olam Haba. So that pretty explicitly implies that Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba are the same, or one is part of the other. Okay. Yeshiva Shalmala is another word used to describe Gan Eden. That's what the Ramban says. Again, what presumably it refers to is the idea that when one is in the Olam HaNeshamos, they're doing an activity that allows them to understand Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the like. In a sense, it's like a Yeshiva Shalmala. Yeah, that Ramban doesn't use that. I don't know. It does that, but presumably, yeah. Yes. Oh, let's go.
This may be a bit of a tangent, but we mentioned before that in the Olam HaNeshamos, when Hashem goes to Gan Eden, it's getting prepared for Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba.
Yeah, take a look. Everyone should read Shaar HaGemul for next week. If you don't get the ones with the footnotes, it's actually not so long. If you get the ones with the footnotes, it's like 500 pages. But if you just look at the ones in the back of the Green Ramban, it's, 15 pages, and plus you get a whole parish on Sefer Eov, and you'll know what goes on in Rosh Hashanah. It's, I don't know if we'll understand everything we read there, but take a look. Obviously, other thinkers elaborate on this. The Ramchal talks about your question a lot. But it's about zikuch hanefesh, meaning to say that when we do averos, so that causes some type of pigam in our neshama. And the tikkun, a tikkun is necessary to prepare the neshama to restore it. And that's both Gehenim and Gan Eden also allows it to reach a certain madrega that it wouldn't otherwise be able to reach.
Yeah. I heard Rebbe speak about the Ramban's Mahalach about Gan Eden. It sounded like in those kinds of, I would assume the Ramban would be in the same school as the Ramban. He makes it sound like Gan Eden is really just the station before the Shem goes to Olam Haba, even prior to the Olam Haba. Like, it sounded like he just stays there for a couple of months.
I mean, I think the Ramban also has such a, there's such a thing as Gan Eden Shalmat and Gan Eden Shalmal, and there are obviously different madregos of Gan Eden. In other words, and same thing with Olam Haba, right? Obviously, the tzaddikim will not go to the same place as Beinonim, even if they both end up in Olam Haba and both end up in Gan Eden. So there are different madregos, and there's also different stages in the process and the like. Okay. All right, so let's read on a little bit. So The first question that I think one wonders about for the Mahalech of Ramban is, what is the purpose of the guf? As we noted before, this is in fact the reason why the Rambam rejects the Ramban's Mahalech. He was aware of this approach. And he says, what need is there for a guf? As everybody exists in Olam Haba, lo Ochlin, lo Shosin, it's a spiritual existence, there should be no need for a guf. In fact, the Ramban asks, how do I know that there is a guf in Olam Haba? So the Ramban writes that we know it, A, from Misora, like we saw before in the Ramah, B, from the Gemara. In a number of places, the Gemara quite clearly implies that Tchias HaMesim ushers in Olam Haba, as we just noted. And finally, the Ramban actually notes that that is also the Pshuto Shel Mikra. How is it the Pshuto Shel Mikra? Because the Ramban notes that in the story of Adam and Chav and Bereshis, it's quite clear that had Adam and Chava not been chote, they would have been able to eat from the Eitz HaChayim and lived forever. That's what the Pesukim say. Presumably in their that form, in a form of a guf plus neshama. It's only after they eat from the Eitz Hadas Tovara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh no, they're going to eat from the Eitz HaChayim v'chai li'olam, and that would have been a problem now that they'd eaten from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, and therefore the Pesukim say they were banished from Gan Eden. But otherwise, the Ramban says, it sounds like they would have been able to eat from the Eitz HaChayim. In fact, presumably that's what they were supposed to have done. That's why it's the, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what was in the middle of the garden, it was Eitz HaChayim b'soch hagan. From Chava's perspective, it was Eitz Hadas that was b'soch hagan, that related to their different perspectives and what ultimately led to the chait. But the yesod is that you see from these psukim that that this possibility of eternal life with a guf and a neshama was something that was possible. Okay. So, let's try to explain this a little bit. The Rambam and the Ramban both write that nowadays there's a certain tension between the guf and the neshama. But the Ramban writes that that is not inherent. It doesn't have to be that way. That perhaps is a result of the chait hakadmon, but it could be rectified. Even today, a tzaddik can reach a level where there's no tension between their guf and a neshama. Ramban writes that's what it means when we say someone like Eliyahu HaNavi didn't have to die. He was able to go up to Shemayim alive. What that means is he reached a madrega where there was no tension between the guf and the neshama, and therefore there was no need for them to separate. His lashon in Vayikra Perak Yud Ches, actually, look at that, is this week's parsha, V'ha'ozvim kol inyan ha'olam hazeh, Ve'enam mashkichim alav ki'ilu enam bale guf. This is actually at the end of last week's parsha, right, when he talks about what kares is. So someone who, even while in this world, has no shaychus to the inyanei haguf, b'chol machshavtam v'kavanasam b'boram bilvad ki'inyan Eliyahu, and they're entirely thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Eliyahu HaNavi, bidabek nafsham b'shem hanichbad, yichyu la'ad begufam uvenafsham kanireh bekasuv be'Eliyahu. They can live forever with their guf and their nefesh, meaning to say there's no need for their neshama and their guf to separate at Misa, because their guf, even on this world, they reached a madrega where their guf didn't hold them back from constantly thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukimo sheba b'midrashim b'chanoch uvivnei ha'olam haba ha'omdim b'tchias ha'meisim. Everybody will achieve that madrega in Olam Haba, ha'omdim b'tchias ha'meisim. And for most people, it's necessary for there to be this duration where the neshama and the guf separate to be able to eventually reach that madrega. But for Eliyahu, for example, the Ramban says that wasn't necessary. The Ramban makes a similar point. The Ramban writes, for example, that all the other Nevi'im, when they would experience prophecy, so their body would shake and shudder, there would be convulsions, that was because of the intensely spiritual experience of prophecy was a stira to the guf, and so memela there were seizures, the body couldn't handle it. The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was that none of that existed. He had reached such a madrega that he could stand and ki'ilu converse with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like two people talk to each other. The guf was not something that held him back because he had reached such a high level of purity. Many Rishonim, including the Rambam, write, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to eat and drink at Har Sinai. This wasn't a supernatural event in so far as much as a natural consequence of their having reached such a high spiritual madrega that they were not held back. Now again, for the Rambam, there's still a limit. to how far you could go with the guf, and that's where the Ramban disagrees. So for the rest of the people who don't reach this madrega of Eliyahu, it's interesting, by the way, now another time, why we say, the Ramban says in the one we just referred to at the end of Parak Yod Ches in Vayikra, that this madrega was reached by Eliyahu. But it doesn't seem, the Ramban says, there are four madregos, that Moshe Rabbeinu or Avram reached this madrega as well. Why not? Presumably that relates to their having to have a certain type of involvement in this world to fulfill their tafkid, whereas Eliyahu, even while in this world, left this world. But again, it's for another conversation. So again, the question is, what is the purpose of the body in Olam Haba? So we'll get to that in 1 second, but first your question.
Is part of the idea of this separation that the Ramban is talking about is because you need to, like we were saying, you separate and then you have this experience just as the Neshama, and then when the Neshama, in a sense, re-enters then at this point, is it that these, quote, memories, if you can call it that, of Olam HaNeshama still exist in the Neshama, and then when it's re-entered in the body, it kind of... You see a fuller understanding from the body. Is it like
I don't know exactly. I haven't experienced it, but I don't know about memories. But yes, in other words, the experience, the tikkun. Again, there needs to be both the tikkun of the guf and the neshama. That's why it's necessary for the body to decompose, because it too needs that tikkun, and that's why perhaps tzaddikim's bodies don't need to decompose, because they don't need that same tikkun. So there's a tikkun for the guf and a tikkun for the neshama before they could reunite. Okay, so take a look, the second paragraph we have on your sheets. Ve'im tashiv aleinu beyos haguf mechubar mekli hashimosh lepulos hanefesh l'shlosha chalakim shizkiru anshe ha'iyon v'heim klei hamazon v'klei hazera v'klei tikkun aguf v'aguf b'chlalot sorech metziuso hu ba'avor tachlis achas v'hi achilas hamazon l'kiyom aguf u'lohole demyono u'kshetistalek hatachlis ahil yolam haba she'en bo lo achila v'lo shtia lama yiyah haguf po'el reik v'en b'maseh alokim po'el batel. The question of the need for the body is a very, very difficult question. The Ramban acknowledges, as we said, this is the Rambam's question. Right? He graphically illustrates the question over here, that we know that our body has all sorts of different systems. There's the digestive system. There's the reproductive system. So, if there's not going to be a digestion in Olam Haba, why do we need a digestive system? And presumably there will be one, because Tchias HaMeistim is the restoring of the body that we once had. And if so, so what's the need for this? Right? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to make something for naught? What's the need of the reproductive system if there's not going to be reproduction in Olam Haba? So the Ramban offers the beginning of an answer. Hinei tshuva l'chol zeh. The first aspect of the answer sounds like he's saying that there is going to be a period of time, a window of time, where these physical faculties will be necessary. Meaning to say, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim at the end of Yemos HaMashiach. At that point, we'll still eat and drink. There will be the Yom HaDin HaGadol VaNora, which will usher in Olam Haba. But at least initially, at the beginning, there will be a need for eating and drinking. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get rid of them after Olam Haba begins, but they really won't be necessary. Now he adds a more fundamental point. V'od yesh b'tzura hazos sodos amukim. Ki lo aisa yitzira al hadmus hefker ulelotam. Rak litzorach gadol, ulatam nechbad. V'ha'oso yisborach rotze b'kiyumo. There's a concept, the Ramban talks about it in a number of places. Much of the Zohar is actually based off of this idea, a pasuk in Iov, Mibsari achaze aloka, from my flesh, from my body, I could see God, that there are deep mystical secrets that are associated with the physical body. We shouldn't just think of our physical body as purely having a function in the physical world. Mibsari achaze aloka, I could look at my physical body and see and perceive God. The 10 fingers and the 10 toes relate to the spheros and the bris in the middle and all sorts of things that the Ramban writes. Why, for example, in Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash, why they would wash their hands and their feet at the same time. There's many, many ideas. The Ramah Chevarim and Shesagidim are Keneged Mitzvot, Saseh and Lo Saseh. There is a lot of spiritual, mystical depth to our body. That's why in many Sifrei Kabbalah, you'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu being depicted in a way that's similar to a body. He has his right hand and his left hand and the like. So all of this is because there's more to our physical bodies than perhaps what most of us are aware of on a day-to-day basis. And while you might not see the value of the digestive system, that's because you don't understand the sodos and the secrets of the body. In a sense, from a rationalist perspective, it's correct. The question that there should be no purpose in the body is in fact very, very logical. But that's because there's much more to the body than the scientist or the biologist will know. And that's the reason why there has to be a tchia of the entire body. And presumably at that time we'll be aware of some of these additional factors. The Maral elaborates on this point. If you just skip down to where it says the Tiferes Yisrael, a couple of lines later, we'll go back to Ramban in a second. The Maral writes, Ki al tachshov kemo shechashvu k'tzas mnei Adam v'hem arofim ki ha'evarim shel Adam hem tivim kemo shar balei chayim. Do not think, as the scientists and doctors maintain, that the physical limbs of a body are simply physical idea, physical things much like animal limbs. Kein hadavar kach klal. Lo yadu be'emes toar ha'adam ve'evarav shekulhu eloki. These doctors don't really understand the toar of a person, which is entirely divine or modeled after the divine. Shenemar nase adam betzalmenu. The idea of tzalem elokim, the Rambam at the very beginning of Mor Nevuchim describes what he thinks this means, but one aspect that the Maral says is that means that the guf of the person is in fact also a tzalem elokim in the way it's set up. Birdu bidkasayam uvashamayim ulefikach mispar mitzvot shem shlemos ha'adam kemispar ivarav shem gam kein shlemos umalas ha'adam adshu b'tzalem elokim al yidei ramach ivarav. Derech agav, the Maral and the Ramban and others point out that's one of the reasons why people who think that physical things are devoid of Kedusha necessarily are wrong. And even something like Chibur or Tashrish Amita is something that could be holy, because there's no such thing as a part of us which isn't Shaykh to Kedusha and Aliyah and the like. Okay, so going back to Ramban, another aspect, by the way, of the purpose of the guf could be seen in the comments of Rabbeinu Bachya. Also, I guess we'll just do it right now, right below the Maral. The alt v'im tiksha v'tomar shiwa kelim levatala. The same question that Ramban was dealing with, that these kelim, these physical limbs, will be levatala after tchias emesim. What purpose will they serve? Enan levatala me'achar shehem mekablim aschar v'atainug beguf uvenefesh yachdav k'shem shishtadlu b'kiyam ha-mitzvos v'tarchu bahan ke'achad beguf uvenefesh. Very interesting point. That just like when we do mitzvos, we work hard. And who works hard? The combination of the body and soul, not just the neshama, but the body plus the neshama. So too, the schar should not be limited to the neshama. That would be, as it were, unfair. The Gemara in Sanhedrin alludes to this concept. Also in Parak Chelak, the story of a king who asked two people to guard his orchard. Someone who couldn't walk, who was lame, and someone who was blind. And the king comes back a couple hours later, and look, all the delicious fruits have been taken. So the king looks at the guards, and the blind person says, "It could not have been me, because how could I have seen the fruits in order to take them?" And he looks at the lame person, who responds, "It could not have been me. I can't walk around. I can't reach the fruits." So the king puts the lame person on the shoulders of the blind person and judges them that way. That's what happened. So too, the neshama after death says, "Look, don't blame me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ever since I've separated from the guf, I've been floating around. I haven't done any averos." And the guf says, "Don't blame me. Ever since the neshama's left me, I've been 6 feet under. I haven't done any averos." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the neshama together with the guf and judges them. That's the Yom HaDin HaGadol V'Hanora, which takes place after Tchias HaMeisim. But it's also true that the gemul will take place in that sense as well. Meaning to say, we did our mitzvos, guf plus neshama, and therefore our schar will also be in a state of guf plus neshama. Now, going back to the Ramban, he deals with an interesting technical problem, which is that we read at the beginning that Olam Haba is eternal, but the body is a physical entity, and as a physical entity, it must break down. The second law of thermodynamics. So how is it that the guf will live forever? So he says, "V'im tiksha aleinu kiyum haguf min hashfalim liolam kfar hashivunu eilecha ki kiyum haguf yeh b'kiyum hanefesh b'kiyum hanefesh b'hisyachda b'das elyon v'hamiskayim v'hamiskayim yeh k'makayim b'hisyachdaso bo." In other words, the spiritual soul will nourish the body, allowing it to exist forever. I think around Hanukkah time we talked about how spiritual entities, even their physical manifestations, aren't subject to the laws of entropy. That's why Snebor Ba'esh Ve'enu Kal, the burning of the Esh Shel Mala, doesn't necessarily demand fuel. That was the nace of the beginning of Matan Torah. The Hemshech was an Er Ma'aravi in the Mikdash. As it were, the final nace following Pisa Kanevua was the nace of the Pach HaShemen, which was the same nace. Anyhow, the Ramban himself, as I said, brings proof for this from the Psukim. Kasher na'amin afilu b'pshat haksuvim al Adam HaRishon shaya ra'ui shiyiskayim v'yechiel ad. You see this in the Psukim that state that had Adam HaRishon not sinned, he would have lived forever with his physical body. And then he notes an important point. We can't understand how could something physical not at some point break down.
Yoser me hischak musenu.
Now, the Ramban describes the nature of the relationship between the guf and the neshama at this point, and it's different than the relationship now. We're out of time, so we won't elaborate this upon this very much, but let's just see one final source. This is from the Ramchal, who describes this. The Ramchal himself over here has several stages. There's the Aleph HaShvi'i and Aleph HaShmini and Aleph HaChi'i and Aleph HaSiri, different stages in which the neshama gets greater and greater control over the guf. But we'll read one brief sentence.
Haneshama hi levada sholetas umoshelas lagamre. Below, she yeshum shlita leguf klal. As opposed to nowadays, in Olam Haba, the neshama will be entirely in control, and the guf will not have any power as it does nowadays. Ukiilu eno. Kikulo meshubad bekafuf legamre tachas han memshelas haneshama betahara. After the zikuch of the neshama that will take place in the Olam HaNeshamos and the initial advancement in the earlier stages of Olam Haba, then there will be absolute shlita of the neshama over the guf. Acheino afilu ola b'shem. Yan rak hametzios yeshlo ach lo shlita. In other words, as we said before, this tension that exists in our current state between the neguf and the neshama will no longer be the case in Olam Haba. Okay. So